Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have dreamed a dream of every common man, hoping to rise to the top. I have sworn by my blood, as your man, my love, that one day, I promise one day your heartaches would stop. But I've never, 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 never changed. I've never changed one single grain of sand. Oh, thanks to you, baby. But just love in a common man. I wanna thank you, see. Oh, I thought that I felt you so. But that's when you turn around and look me in the eyes and you let me know. You said, and you said it softly, I didn't have to worry about being a common man. You said, David, you don't have to worry about rising to the top. You said, I didn't have to swear by my blood. But oh baby, that one day your heartache would stop. Then you put your arms around me and you said, you never, 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 never cared. If I never change one single grain of sand, you said, I love. Common man. Well, my gratitude just keep on growing. Yeah, for recognizing me. I thank you, baby. Yeah, for respecting me. Yeah, I'm gonna thank you, baby. For every time of need.
As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the all-wise, almighty, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and God for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And I'm going to greet each and every one of you in both their names with love, passion, truth, and an undying and unquenchable thirst for unity, education, and elevation. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to another edition of the Star and Crescent Report. We are back on the air after all this time. I want to give a shout out to Almighty God, Allah, His Messenger, and those of you who have decided to join us live, and those of you who will join us later. As-salamu alaykum, with a full nation behind that. Let us get into our subject at hand, the final hours of American Empire. Brothers and sisters, thank each and every one of you for joining me on our first broadcast back in months and months and months and months. But here it is. Even on the first broadcast back, we can do it through the regular lines like normal because white people are talking on my phone line. So I have to talk to you through my cell phone. We've tried since yesterday to straighten out the lines, and every time you pick up the phone, white people are calling on one end. And they're not answering you. They're just continually talking. But we know how that goes, brother. And all of this goes into the show. Brother McCall, Brother Michael told me that they have been blocking him from texting and calling and all of this stuff and dropping calls and stuff. This is what we have to go through. These are the trials that we have to go through. We have to slug through it and persevere onward because the reward is great. The sacrifice may be great, but the reward is greater. And guess what? We're almost at the end of this thing. It's wonderful. You know, there's no way that you should be sad and know and have the knowledge of the time, have the knowledge of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, this is one thing that I have to bring focus to real quick, and it ties into our subject, the final hours of American empire. Now, check it. Those of us who have the so-called knowledge and those of us who claim to be able to discern now what is actually going on, there is no excuse for you to be all day, every day, especially when you are so-called able to discern the reality of the time and what's going down right now in real time with the divine actionable intelligence that you have about all of these events that are taking place. Some of you don't understand them. You claim that you do, but you really don't. I was looking at some so-called enlightened black power people, and they were screaming about the deteriorating security situation here in America. I'm talking about domestically, with people being shot. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, there were over 48 people shot in just Chicago alone. Oh, Chicago, you city of hypocrites, Muhammad said. He told you that he hope Allah feeds you with the same rejection that you fed him. This is a consequence of that rejection. You can't make the prophets and the prophecies of those prophets, messengers, and divine people of God out to be a lie. In the time of the taking of Babylon, right, it would be a lot of bloodshed, blood up to the horse's mouth. We're watching that in real time today. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I say that constantly, but it has more significance at this point in time than it has ever had, because we're at the end of this thing, and everything is pointing towards it. You see, that this white man is telling you, we got to contain China, we got to prevent China's rise, or we got to wage war with China by 2025, a specific date. Russia's security plans are to 2025. America's war plans are to 2025. Why? Because everything breaks down in 2025, and everything is breaking down on the road to 2025. The window of American power and dominance is closing shut. Right? It is shut. Listen, America understands these things. So as we transition from a fallen, corrupt, and evil racist world, we've got to position ourselves better. That's why I did this platform called The Red Pill Doc. I wanted to bring you these white people in real time. I talked to them behind closed doors, but I wanted to bring you them in real time and let you discern, just listen to them and how they can't come straight out and say it, but in all reality, they are admitting to Elijah Muhammad's teachings. I had to go after the dead to show the dead, get them a link, because guess what? Google has scrubbed all of Google of links to the Hiram 1555 blog and the articles. If you don't put the Hiram 1555 blog in as a word, you'll never get to it. They have broken all of the links because these white people fear what's coming, and they are doing their best to be obstacles for you being enlightened by your own time. we expect from a global tyrant? What else? What else can we expect from somebody that is hurting? The whole of the Western world is hurting, as a matter of fact. You know America is losing her grip, her sway, her savvy, her political levers of power, and her economic and military means when Africa is openly disobeying not only the empire, but all of its colonial minions. This is never before seen. This is never before seen that Africa is in open rebellion from the Horn of Africa down to the bottom of Africa. Elijah Muhammad warned you that this day would come, didn't he? Oh, let me see. Let's go to something. Oh, give me a second, brothers and sisters. Also, let me tell you something. I'm working with a torn up Fall of America because my children misplaced my Fall of America. I studied so much I have to have multiple Falls of America and multiple, I have to have copies of double copies and triple copies of each book due to the notes, the highlighting, and the little, you know, the little sideline I put up there so that I can go back to and just study, even if it's a word. But I want to go back to something. Let's go to page 44 of the Fall of America, because we're going to get it deeper in an in-depth understanding of the times that we're in. And we've got to focus ourselves on Elijah Muhammad. I know a lot of times you may hear Brother Gerald say this, or you may hear me say this, or you may hear Rashid say this, that your Rosetta Stone is Elijah Muhammad and his teachings. Because that is the only thing that is going to navigate you. This is Elijah Muhammad and his teachings. They're the true GPS, the global positioning system. You've got to position yourself globally on everything that Elijah Muhammad says, and you have to be able to stand on it, okay? Because that is the only thing that will get you through this madness that is America, and that is the collapse of America and the collapse of the Western world. In Fall of America, right? Muhammad writes, and I'm going to read a little bit more than what I need to read, because I always like to read the stuff in context, because I'm so tired of people misrepresenting Messenger Elijah Muhammad, taking little bits and pieces and claiming it as their own, and also presenting it to you as this is fact without it being in its proper context. And they don't realize that misquotation of the Messenger of God is a misrepresentation of the word of the God who sent the message through the messenger. So we have to be very meticulous about how we read these things, okay? So let's go further. He says this, messengers are never sent. They always are raised in the midst of those whom Allah would warn so they can't claim that they did not understand the language of the messenger, or say that he was a foreigner or a stranger. The messenger is from one from them. Now listen, I read that prequel to what I'm going to read in a minute. But it's one more paragraph that I have to read before that, and then we get a proper understanding. So give me a second. For nearly 34 years I have served you, just as the lost warners of old served a hard-hearted, hard-headed, disbelieving people who were great lovers of the enemies of Allah and the true religion of Islam, which means entire submission to Allah's will. There is mockery, and evil plans are made against my life by the wicked, just as they were made against Noah and subsequent prophets. Now, here we go. Why did I read that part? Right? I wanted to introduce you to the time, the hard-hearted, hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious people that you would have to contend with in the midst of this. Even as the sky is falling, they want you to think that everything is okay and there will be a rebound. You hear this hope? Even in so-called Muslims, oh, America, when we get through this, if we get into government, we can change it. If we become councilmen and councilwomen and senators and congressmen and mayors and governors, we can change it from the inside. But what if the entire inside of it is corrupt to the core? It, as Muhammad says, and I say the other wise, the whole thing must be changed up. Do you change the system or the system changes you? All one has to do is look at the production or what the system produced. George Bush, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Obama, and the list goes on. So they don't change the system. The system brings out something that is hidden in them, and they become just like the system because it was in them. So listen, Muhammad says, the powerful, rich world of Christianity, especially America. Why did he put emphasis on America? I'm asking you, why did he put emphasis on America? Because America is the weight-bearing wall of white supremacy. America is the weight-bearing wall of neocolonialism and empire. Those European nations no longer have the resources, the wherewithal, nor the military capability to just gallivant around the world without America's back. America stands as the weight-bearing lord of the house of colonialism, of Western exceptionalism and empire. So Muhammad put emphasis on America. Why? Because if you put sunlight or you put bombs up against the weight-bearing load, you can bring down the whole house with little to no effort. Is that not right? That's what they do in demolition. Is that not right? So Muhammad says, the powerful, rich world of Christianity, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. We know in Scripture that the mountains are styled because they are governments, because they stand above all of the valleys and the plain people. They are symbolized as governments. So it says, it is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. America's government seems to be unrivaled, unparalleled. You see, even in the midst of her economic flight, some of the nations are still doubting that she might fall, and some of them say, well, we're not trying to replace the dollar. We're just trying to have an alternative too. Because they don't really believe that America will truly fall. They believe that she will be taken down a peg, but that she would rebound and be one of multiple poles of power. But for this to take place, this would be to ignore and disassociate yourself with the reality of the time and the word of God, because God says that it is his greatest desire to bring these people to their knees. Those are the words of the living God. So regardless to the pundits, the scholars, the prognosticators, and the so-called prophets of this world, we have it on good authority that when America falls this time, there will be no rising from the ashes. There will only be ashes and rubble, economic ashes and rubble, political ashes and rubble, ashes and rubble. Let's go further. Muhammad says, but it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by explosives. So wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. Then he goes and says this. It's very important that we listen to this. We are now living in the judgment or doom of the white man's world, not just America. Why did he follow up this stuff about America and Christianity being hit by high explosives and how their wealth can be, and their power can be reduced to nothing? Why did he follow that up with these words? We are now living in the judgment or doom of the white man's world. Why didn't he say we're now living in the judgment or doom of America? Why did he say the white man's world? Because, again, America is the weight-bearing load of this. That's why she stands as number one on God's hit list. The removal of this great economic and political and military power will leave the house of colonialism and Western exceptionalism condemned to collapse. Right? So he says, we are now living in the judgment or doom of the white man's world. Preparations have been made to meet every effort by the white man to oppose the beginning and setting up of Allah's new world of righteousness. So, he says, preparations, right, have been made to meet every, not some, not part, not most, but every effort. So when you see America trying to destabilize Russia, to weaken Russia so that she can come back and gobble Russia up after she fights China and after she fights in the Middle East, don't you worry about that. All of the preparations have been made to make America's escapades failure eventually. We know, and everybody knows, that she's a global tyrant. As a matter of fact, let's listen to this real quick, okay? If they will allow me to play this.
America is showing itself to be the hypocrite of all hypocrites here. America is the country that is telling the world that it supports free trade and competition and free enterprise, and yet it is the single biggest block to free competition and free enterprise that exists on the earth. America has all of these countries under sanctions because it wants to use economics to dictate politics to other countries. It also wants to dictate culture and ethnic relations between nations which have been friends among themselves and lived and coexisted in peace for generations and centuries and even millennia until America came and set them at each other's throats. America has inherited the English curse of divide and conquer in the interests of their empire. And the world is now smartening up to this. We cannot be allowed to be forced to fight among ourselves. I was here in Serbia during the crippling sanctions that America used to try and crush Serbia. They had no effect. The people banded together. I was in Japan when America was sanctioning Japan and I was advising the Prime Minister's office. They did not cow Japan. Japan continued to produce. I have been in Canada when American interests imposed sanctions on our wood industry. America is the global bully. And as the nations of the world wake up to this fact, the bully, when it's outnumbered by all countries in the earth, will fail and fall. And this is how empires fall. This is the fall of America. They, by sanctioning the world, are sanctioning themselves.
Did Allah's messenger tell you the truth or what? What are we living in? What are they acknowledging? That this is what? The fall of America. And what are we living in real time? The fall of America. So we are living the prophet's wishes. We're living the prophet's old dreams when they wish that they could live to see one of the days. See, we're in the presence of the Son of Man. But they wish that they could live to see one of the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And our whole lives have been in these days. And we are like building up to a very, very intense turning point. We're watching the fall of America in real time. So let me go back to something Messenger Muhammad said to us. He says, the powerful, rich world of Christianity. He's talking about the world of the white man. He said, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. But it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by high explosives. So wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. Let's go to something here. There's an article out right now, and it is Smash Dollar Dominance by Jim O'Neill. And it says, the five emerging nations have already outpaced G7 in economic growth, the prominent economist has noted. What? Stop right there. What does that mean? How does that connect with what you just said? The BRICS nations, not the BRICS Plus, not this other parallel BRICS where it is going to encompass 20 to 30 more nations, but just the five BRICS nations alone. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have already usurped economic dominance from the so-called Global Seven, which are the privileged white Western nations. So what does that tell you right there? There is a new economic and political paradigm underway. There's a shift of power and influence underway. There's a shift of wealth and prominence underway. What did Muhammad say? Old world out, new world in. Right? And he says that But our brothers from the east will come and help us, right? You can't help us if you don't have the political wherewithal, if you don't have the economic wherewithal, and if you don't have the military wherewithal, because this white man here in America is a beast, and he'll kill you without a second thought. You understand? So this article goes on and says, the status of the U.S. dollar as the kingpin currency could be challenged with time and under certain circumstances. Remember when I tell you that they still believe that, and they're hoping that the way America's prominence came about will also give her an extra level of power against a rising tide of global players. They don't want to acknowledge the reality that is over. They'll do it on one hand, but on the other hand, they're keeping hope that maybe if the Fed can do this, and if we can do that, and if other people does this and does that, maybe we can keep our prominence and our dominance. I'm going to finish this article, but I was listening to an interview. I forget who it was. And the guy was talking about how some people say that the dollar can't be replaced, and it takes a long time. Decades upon decades upon decades to replace the dollar. And because China's, the Chinese yuan is not able to float freely all the time, that we don't have to look for that. And then the guy, he said, well, people forget that America's dollar wasn't floating freely. And America, this is what I keep telling you. They believe that they are the exception to the rule. They think that China has to go through all these hoops and constraints that the Western world set up to surpass it completely. But they don't realize that the time for their power, their sway, and their insight is over. Remember, this is the time where God takes the creative mind from them, as Muhammad teaches you. The creative mind was given to them in the time of their rule so that they can produce for the needs of their people. But at the end of their time, the creative mind would be taken back from them. And we're looking at their lack and loss of ideas. So let's go further. It says, the status of the U.S. dollar as the kingpin currency could be challenged with time and under certain circumstances by the BRICS groups of emerging countries, according to Jim O'Neill, the former chairman of Goldman Sachs Asset Management. O'Neill coined the term BRIC, later expanded to include South Africa, and at the time predicted that the four emerging countries were on their way to reshaping the world economy. The idea that the dollar will remain king forever, I think, is probably unlikely. Now, here it is. On the one hand, they will acknowledge that all of the economic barometers, all of the social barometers, right, and all of the political barometers, which judges the progress or the stagnation or the decline of a nation, they tell you that they are quickly deteriorating in the Western world, specifically and especially in the U.S. and in the U.K. But then they'll offer a but, nullifying all of the information and all of the truth that they gave on hope that maybe, just maybe, we can overcome this situation, all right? Listen, there is no outthinking our God. You can't do it. Your brain cells can't produce the knowledge needed to try to outthink and outproduce the true and living God, all right? I want to play something to you on what we're talking about the dollars, the BRICS nations. And remember what Elijah Muhammad says. It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. And remember that all of these nations have a specific part to play in the reshaping of global politics and the breaking of American dominance in all areas of power. And also, whether they know it or don't know it, they also are playing a specific part in the upliftment of the prodigal sons and daughters of God. We are those sons and daughters. We are shunned by the Western world, the Eastern world. We are even shunned by our own brothers and sisters in Africa because we are God's favorite. Now think about that. It says the tail will become the head. We have been the tail of everybody's jokes. We've been the butt of them. We don't like each other. We can't get along with each other. It's hard to get three so-called Muslim brothers, let alone so-called Negroes, to sit down and have a conversation without confrontation. Because that's been embedded in us by our upbringing, in our society and culture and atmosphere across America. But don't think too bad of it. All of this is part of the eventual working out of the uplifting and the resurrection of God's elect. Now listen, when you have a diamond, I want you to understand something. When they send them out to search for gold or to search for diamonds, they go against 100,000 to one odds, 1,000,000 to one odds to go into this cavern, this cave, or this hole in the ground to dig. They spend energy, time, all of that to pull a rock out the ground. No bigger, some of them no bigger than the size of a penny. But as they polish that rock, that polishing added value to it. And then what was once a rock and would have been looked over or kicked or skipped through the lake becomes a jewel in a man's watch, ring, necklace, and crown. That's us. We are the jewels of the crown of God. And we got to go through the purification process, that fire, to prove our worthiness. But all of this is part of the eventual working out of God using these nations, power of America, to break the power of the Western world. This is our time now. This is our day. And I want to say this live on air. I love you. You know why? Because God loved me first without me even deserving it. So let's go into this. I want you to listen to this clip because this goes hand in hand with what we're reading. All right? So hold on. Here we go.
BRICS announced a new global currency designed to replace the dollar. The deputy chairman of Russia's State Duma, Alexander Babakov, told reporters that the BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, is creating a new currency that will be backed by gold, rare earth metals, and other critical commodities. BRICS will likely take up the task of creating this new currency at the next BRICS summit in late August. While there's still a lot of things we don't know about the currency, the announcement alone is a huge development. Since 1945, the U.S. dollar has been the world reserve currency, meaning it acts as the standard currency for all international payments. This means that if Japan wants to trade with Thailand, they wouldn't pay each other using yen or baht, they would use the U.S. dollar. The dollar's monopoly is especially strong in the oil trade, which until recently was exclusively conducted in dollars. What this means is that every country in the world needs a constant supply of dollars on hand to buy oil and other critical goods, and to acquire those dollars, they have to manufacture real goods and sell them to the U.S. or some other country that acquired dollars from the U.S. The United States, on the other hand, can print dollars, meaning they can essentially go into debt for free. Economist Barry Eichengreen describes it as the following. It costs only a few cents for the Bureau of Engraving and Printing to produce a $100 bill, but other countries have to pony up $100 of actual goods and services in order to obtain one. The other thing is that since the world financial system was set up by the U.S. and relies so heavily on the dollar, the U.S. also has the power to exclude countries from the international financial system. The U.S. controls SWIFT, the international payment system, which basically functions as the blood vessels of the world financial system. The U.S. has weaponized SWIFT by banning countries it doesn't like from it, like Cuba, Iran, and North Korea. The U.S. also takes advantage of the fact that many countries store their foreign reserves in U.S. banks and dollar-denominated assets. The most brazen example of this was after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when the U.S. froze over $600 billion of gold and foreign reserves held in U.S. and EU banks, making Russia unable to pay its foreign debts. So how would a new BRICS currency change this? Well, the US has the power to print money and unilaterally exclude and punish countries because the world relies on the dollar. But if enough countries make the collective decision to abandon the dollar and rally around new currencies that the US doesn't control, the US wouldn't have the power to manipulate the world financial system like it does now. Skeptics often say that no currency will replace the dollar because not enough countries will adopt it. But the five BRICS countries alone represent a whopping 40% of the world's population. If you add the countries that are applying for BRICS membership, it becomes a little under half. If all these countries started demanding BRICS currency in trade instead of the dollar, the rest of the world would likely have to lessen their foreign reserve holdings of US dollars and increase their holdings of the new BRICS currency. Other countries will also probably find the BRICS currency more appealing because it's not controlled by a single country, unlike the dollar. For centuries, the imperialist countries used their military and financial supremacy to siphon off resources and labor out of the rest of the world. Now those countries are banding together and starting their own currency, backed by that same wealth of resources, which will dramatically reduce the value and relevance of Western fiat currencies. While some are going to continue to insist that de-dollarization will never happen, many would argue that it's the current hegemonic position of the dollar that won't last, and that a new financial system that reflects the new multipolar world was always bound to emerge.
Thank you so much for watching, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this video. We've been talking a lot about de-dollarization lately, and the thing about de-dollarization is that it's coming, but it's not quite here yet. And that means that here at Breakthrough News, we still need dollars to function, to fund our day-to-day operations.
So, do you see that there's a major shift underway? As a matter of fact, we're going to go back to this article that we were reading in conjunction with this that we just heard. So, we left off, and it says, the guy was, Jim O'Neill says this. The idea that the dollar will remain king forever, I think it's probably unlikely. The Economist said in an interview with TV show Going Underground, this is not the first time that people have talked about the end of the dollar. It happens every other year, if not with the, but with not the same intensity, he said, adding that the U.S. currency would probably at some point lose its position. I do think, listen to this part right here. I want you to listen close to this because remember what Elijah Muhammad said. See, you can't make him out to be no liar. You cannot disprove Messenger Muhammad. And when Muhammad says that China, the big brother China, was joining hands with the Asian nations, right? And they were trying to build something over there for them. And that if you wanted to come in, you got to come in by what they say. All right, listen to what this man says right here. Oh, my God, Elijah Muhammad is so right. He can't be wrong. Listen, I do think if China and India could ever strongly agree on things as the two biggest countries in the emerging world, then that would probably hasten the end of the dollar's dominance. Stop right there. Where does these two nations lie at? In what region of the world? In Asia. And what's the significance about these two nations? That the British and the U.S. left a tripwire at the border of these nations to keep them divided so that they can exploit and pillage the land and dominate. Right? Notice everywhere that there has been colonial occupation, that the colonies were left in disarray or left with border disputes or ethnic disputes. This was not done by chance. This was done on purpose so that later on the very colonial nations that left it could come and act as the arbiter so that they could rule both. But this man is economist from the most crookedest and corrupt bank on planet Earth, Goldman Sachs, right? That investment firm, that investment bank, says that I do think in India, these are not just huge economically, they are the most populous nation on the planet, could ever strongly agree on things as the two biggest countries in the emerging world, then that would probably hasten the end of the dollar's dominant. That's why America tried to lure the Hindu nation of India into the Quad. That's why America tried to bribe the Hindu nation with technology transfer. They want to hem China in. And they want to break India down. Because they see India as a lesser threat than the Chinese. Because they understand prophecy. It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. Right? So, wait, matter of fact, hold on one second. Excuse me. And I want you to give me one sec. Listen to this part right here. What's going on in Asia? It uses Japan in here too, but this is talking about what's going on in Asia. It says, your businessman, and I'm, you know, I always read a little bit more than what I'm trying to get to because I like to read my stuff in context. I'm not going to be charged with misappropriation of Nephi Eli Demonic's words. That's not happening with me. So it says, my beloved brothers, what is coming on us? Well, first, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the prior paragraph. You businessmen and great educators, all we need to do is get together and agree on what we shall do first because you know how to do these things. We know we can agree because we have the same idea. Therefore, we got to agree. He's talking about doing something for self. And he says, you may be saying, this is a little fellow popping off around here. We want to go to Mr. Ford. We want to go over to General Motors. Let's get started over there with them and make them richer. Listen to me good. Mr. Muhammad, he named two specific companies. These were the two largest manufacturing companies in the world, Ford and General Motors. That's why they used to call Detroit the Motor City and the manufacturing capital of the world. That's what they used to call it, right? And so we were so busy trying to get a job there, and we were so busy bragging about, I've been 30 years with General Motors, and I'm 30 years with Ford, and I got 10 more, I got 5 more, and I'm gonna get this pension, right? Now you hear where General Motors is about to go belly up, and Ford is cutting its production staff, and shutting down lines of product. And Muhammad says, my beloved brothers, what is coming on us now is going to drive you to the bread wagon if you don't get up and do something for yourself. What's going on? See, we ran those manufacturing plants. Why wouldn't we just unify and build our own right in the midst of that and run that one and we would get the profits from it? Because we are so consumed with individuality. When the Chinese thinks about the thing as a whole, Muhammad brought to us a 5-year program. He condensed it down to a 3-year program because of your patience, because you had little to no patience. The Chinese took Muhammad's 5-year program and became the most powerful economy on the planet, the most powerful manufacturing juggernaut on the planet. But that was fashioned and tailored for you and me. But now, in a 40 to 50 year span, the Chinese have emerged as a global power, using what was meant for us. And they didn't even have it all. I see your hand up. I'll bring you in 1 second, Rashid. The Indians saw China, and they implemented a 5-year program. That's Elijah Muhammad. And now India is the 5th largest economy on the planet. But they only took aspects of it. The program was meant to uplift you and I to this area what the Chinese and the Indians are now ascending to. Right? Man, I tell you what, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Watch you keep that hand up 1 second. Let me finish this right here. It says, the uniting of Japan and China and their other allies, they're uniting together to deal with self, not with white people. If white people want to come in, they must come in by what they, talking about the Asians, offer them. This is something the East has not been doing. By now, they are ready to push the West out of the East. So that they can do business with each other, and they'll have plenty of each other over there. So this is what we're seeing, a transition from wealth, power, and influence from west to east, and the west cannot deal with it. Let me bring Rashid in real quick and let him chop it up a little bit. Shalom aleichem.
Shalom aleichem. Can you hear me?
There you
go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well.
The key of what you were saying, when the messenger talked about doing for self, he talked about a nation full of people, not an individual.
Right.
There was a brother out here in Paris, California, had 40 acres, and he wrote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and said, dear Holy Apostle, I'm doing for self, and the messenger said, you got a little farm for you and your family. This is what the black man of America is hard to understand. When the messenger said doing for self, he meant all of us, not one person.
Right. That's right.
And with all of us, you can do something, just like what the Chinese are doing. They are together. But what the problem is that when you go to China, who's the leader? G stands up. You go to Russia,
yeah.
You say, who's the leader? Putin stands up. You go to India, you say, who the leader? And Modi stands up. You come up to the black man of America and say who the leader is, and 50 million so-called American Negroes stand up. That's the problem. Disunity. And the white man put that into the so-called American Negro where he thinks that he got to be an individual. An individual, it gets you nothing, and it gets the power to divide and conquer and always keep his foot on your neck. This thing, what he was talking about, the collapse, it may happen over, like I said, we was talking about the Nebuchadnezzar, his fall happened overnight, right? They're sitting up talking about it's going to be a long time for the dollar. Falls, and the world sees the winds of change happen. This thing may happen in a week or so. It's a great movie called Rollover, talking about the fall of the Western world's monetary system. I think it was made in the 90s with Jane Fonda and Chris Christopherson. But like on that movie, it happened overnight.
Yeah.
See, one moment you had $1 billion in the bank, the next moment you had nothing.
Yeah,
it's not going to stop until you see Michael Jordan pushing a shopping cart. Oprah Winfrey out there scrounging in the trash can for good. This is what's got the man up, because America's going. Me nor you can stop it. It's going.
Yeah.
Allah done got his hand against it. And nothing can stand when Allah puts his hand against it. And I advise everybody, it is time, like the man you said, that it's going to be no jobs nowhere.
You better believe it.
They didn't believe it. They sat up and laughed about it. But he done, the fool didn't understand that this stuff takes time to take place. What the man you said, it took a time for the world of Yaqub to come into existence. And it takes time to push it out. And now the tipping point is at hand. She's getting ready to be removed. And once she be, what the man you say, once the white world is removed, who you think going to rule? They ain't going to be ruling no more. It's going to have to be yourself. All right, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Continue on. Lovely.
Yes, sir, my brother. Good teaching. Good talk. Good talk. All praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, if you have anything to say, you can raise your hand. I'll give you the floor. Keep it respectful or whatever. But listen, we're in the midst of the fall of the greatest power in the annals of the last 6,000 years. This nation, America, is set to be an example for everybody so they can see America says that she's the global hegemon, that she's the number one power. But she ignores the hidden hand. And when God brings America down, because she is the preeminence of all nations, everybody's going to have to bow. Because Russia couldn't do it by herself. China couldn't do it by itself. The BRICS can do it. It has to be God to do this, to bring America down. And we're looking at this in the final days and collapse of American power. I'm telling you this. I want you to listen to this because this goes with the economic part of this. All right? Now, here Muhammad says, there will be no job. All right? He says, there will be no job. The government is afraid to let their soldiers return home because they have no job. Listen, they don't have jobs. This is the core of what I keep telling you all. The premise of all of these military bases around the world, which is a burden, an economic burden, like the which the empire is having real troubles to manage, to carry. And people say, and I hear this in the discussions all over the YouTube and the internet and stuff, and then I've even talked to certain intelligence agents, former government officials and others. They believe that, if we just cut the budget and bring that money in and reinvest it here, then we'll be able to do this, this, and this. But they don't realize that the reason that America's doing it is because she has no money. She keeps those bases over there to the nations not to turn away from her dollar. If she brings those nations back, then those troops back, then those nations will quickly change trade, change the use of the dollar. They will quickly do that, right? So Muhammad says, there will be no jobs. The government is afraid to let their soldiers return home because they don't have jobs. The country is going, listen to this part, the country is going down, down, down. He didn't say down one time. It's very significant of what he said, okay? See, sometimes he drops subtleties in what he's saying to see if you're wise enough to pick up on it and discern what he's talking about. He put some emphasis here. He says, the country is going down. He didn't just say that and then move on with his speech. He says, it's going down, down, down. All right, there's three down. So he's putting more emphasis on the direction of the country, right? Now, it's something very important about that. Then after he says that, and you can be blamed for it. Yet you believe that in that fall, you have salvation. Stick around, brother. Now, why did he use that fall going down, down, down? I want you to listen to something. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying. Why did he say the country is going down, 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 and you can be blamed for it? Because he understood as God starts intensifying the judgment and America's levels of power and stability starts to crack, that America, being the greatest of the technology scientists on the planet and in the annals of history, would then do something very, very tricky and start replacing public figures with black figures. You had a black president, the first black and the first male president, Barack Obama, right? You had the first Joint Chiefs of Staff with Colin Powell, right? The first black Secretary of State, Colin Powell. You had the National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, and that other Rice chick. You now have a vice president who has whatever she calls her one day. She calls herself this on one day and one this on another. She says she's part Indian over here, part black over here, part black over here, part Asian over there. Man, whatever. Harris, Kamala Harris. And now you are getting another Joint Chiefs of Staff from the Air Force. In the government. This is the face that they're presenting to the world because they want to mask imperialism with equality and progressiveness. So the trajectory of the empire starts to go in a downward spiral, you will be blamed. They're still talking about how dumb Kamala Harris is, and she is dumb as a brick. We still talk over Mr. Obama, Colin Powell, the lies about the anthrax and all of this stuff. We talk about Lloyd Austin, War Secretary of the United States. Do you see this? So you can be blamed. Elijah Muhammad was warning you of the time that we are now in. That's why it is very important for you to pay attention to everything that is going on around you, above you, beneath you, in front of you, behind you, and even within you. Because this is a very crucial time. Because we're living in the fall of America. The fall of America. So Muhammad says, listen to this. Muhammad says this, right? Let me get this book, this torn up book real quick. Book sometimes that the binds on them come loose. And the glue starts coming loose. But listen, it says on page 115, let's go to that one real quick. That's chapter 27, All of America. Muhammad says, America, in trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of earth, is one of the most troubled countries on earth today. Why? She's got to try to keep her dominance up in the Middle East. She's got to try to keep her dominance up in Africa. She's got to try to keep her dominance up in Latin America, that's Central and South America. She's got to try to keep her dominance up over the Caribbean. She's got to try to keep her dominance up over West Asia. She's got to try to keep her dominance up over Central Asia, over South Asia, Southeast Asia. She's got to try to keep her dominance up over the Pacific, over the Atlantic. She's got to try to keep her dominance up even in Europe. And this is an exhaustive effort by a hemorrhaging empire that is losing everything. Do you understand? This is a great economic burden to bear. And all of the empires and kingdoms, powerful nations that preceded her, fell victim to this very weight. They could not bear the load under extreme pressures in a way long period of time. We're seeing the dollar collapse. We're seeing cracks in Imperial America. We are watching the collapse in real time. As a matter of fact, let's go to something, okay? I want you to look at this and listen to what Peter Schiff has to say about the economic plight of America.
Let's dig in right away with Euro-Pacific Capital's Peter Schiff and Nataline Securities global fixed income head, Andy Brenner. Andy, I will go to you first. Your gut reaction of the most important issue here.
The most important issue, I think, is the fact that he's focusing on credit. He's already seen the senior loan survey that's going to officially come out Monday, and I think it's going to be ugly, similar to what the ECB survey was yesterday. So he knows that things are really looking bad in the regional bank space, and I think that's something he's very much concerned about. And yes, I do think the Fed is paused for now.
Okay, maybe we can put up some regional banks, because I think what you're seeing is a problematic behavior here. What was it that he said? Because one of the things he said, and I kind of was a little shocked by this. I mean, I get it from Mary Daly of the San Francisco Fed, who said, oh, there's really, you know, we've stabilized the situation. But he specifically said the banking system is sound and resilient and strong.
Liz, I've heard so many times since the first of Silicon Valley Bank, the banking system is fine. The banking system is stable. And then when we heard on Monday, oh, First Republic has been bought by J.P. Morgan, then look what happened yesterday. I mean, you had some of the banks, PacWest down 25%, Western Alliance down 20%, the KBW index down 7, 8, 9%. Liz, it's not over by a long shot. When you have Treasury bills yielding 5.20 and banks paying 1%, and the ease, that this is the thing that Powell said he didn't understand. And what he doesn't understand, because he didn't mention it, is how easy it is to move money out of banks into markets right now. It's never been the case, and they have to factor that in, and it's going to continue to be a problem.
Peter, interpret why you believe the Fed tightened rates 25 basis points this time.
Well, because that's exactly what the market expected them to do, and that's what the Fed does, what the markets expect. But it's not going to do anything regarding bringing inflation down. You know, the elephant in the room with respect to inflation is the fiscal policy. It's the debt, not the ceiling. but the fact that we're running these massive deficits, and until the federal government reduces spending, these quarter point increases are going to be completely ineffective. And the problem is Powell refuses to call Congress out and mention that the driving force behind all the inflation that they've been creating is reckless government spending. And as long as the government keeps spending, inflation is going to get worse, and so is the current financial crisis. And nobody wants to admit we're in a financial crisis. It is worse than the one we had in 2008. It's just getting started. Ultimately, the Fed is going to cut, but it's going to cut as inflation is accelerating.
Okay. You just brought up the elephant in the room. Let me bring up the canary in the coal mine, because when he was asked specifically, and I don't mean to really hammer the regional bank issue here, but this is significant, folks. He brought this up because he was asked, and he talked about how in the past his focus had been the labor markets and pricing pressures, et cetera, maybe even wage inflation, kind of pushed that to the side. And here's what he said about the near future and what he's looking at. Listen.
I think a particular focus for us going now over the past 6-7 weeks now and going forward is going to be what's happening with credit tightening. Are small and medium-sized banks tightening credit standards? And is that having an effect on loans, on lending? And, you know, so we can begin to assess how that fits in with monetary policy. That'll be an important thing.
Peter, if it has an effect, let us be clear. And I know you have said specifically that everything that was built, meaning every investment that was built on a foundation of 0% interest rates, which we had for very long, will crash. Can you be specific about exactly what?
Well, one thing in particular are the banks. You know, I warned for years that the banks would start collapsing for the precise reason that they're collapsing now. The Fed kept interest rates at zero for so long. That's what allowed these financial institutions to load up on overpriced, low-yielding treasuries, mortgage-backed securities, and other loans. Plus, U.S. government auditors from the Fed, FDIC, they encouraged the banks to buy these long-term treasuries and mortgage-backed securities because they gave favorable accounting treatment. The banks didn't have to mark them to market as long as they could pretend they would hold them to maturity. So the entire house of cards was erected by the Fed and the U.S. government. And now it's collapsing, and they're acting like they have nothing to do with it, and they're trying to figure out how to put out a fire that they lit. And, of course, the problem is they're not putting out the fire. They're throwing gasoline on it.
Okay, Andy, as it pertains to that discussion specifically, the reason the Fed has raised interest rates over and over and over now for the 10th time is because they were trying to quell inflation. We get that. However, if you look at the trajectory over the past several months of how inflation has come down, you know, back in June, it was at 9.1%, and then you can see it coming markedly down. I believe we have a bar chart of all of this. And I'm just wondering from your standpoint, is the inflation horse back in the barn yet? He didn't say yes.
Is the inflation horse back in the barn? A little bit, but I really do believe it is going in the right direction, but it's going to be sticky. I think one of the things he said today is wage inflation does not lead to real inflation. I'm not sure about that. But nonetheless, getting to Peter's point, you know, on banks, there's basically $1.94 trillion of unrealized losses on their books based on a lot of these treasuries and mortgages that they own. That's a problem. And
how many banks are still in trouble? Because USC's Marshall School of Business and Stanford, they did a study. They said 186 banks are in distress right now.
That number I don't know, but I know the Fed looks at 6 or 8. I don't know if that number's expanded. Obviously, PacWest and Western Alliance are part of those two, in my estimation. But, you know, you've taken out a couple. No question, the banking crisis is not over by a long shot. Too many easy alternatives.
Peter, in a word, who's going to feel the move today the most? Is it the banks? But if so, which part of the banking system?
Of course, everybody that has debt is going to feel the pain of rising interest rates. That makes that debt harder to service. And, of course, there's a lot of debt that is still low because it hasn't matured yet. A lot of corporations, people in the real estate market, particularly commercial real estate, borrowed money 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago at really low rates. And the higher rates are when those loans mature, it's going to be that much harder for them to get the financing to roll them over, and then you have the prospect of very disorderly bankruptcies throughout the economy.
Andy, we just want to quickly look at the 10-year and the 2-year. The 2-year is most sensitive to Fed policy. That one had dropped 5 basis points. Let's see where it is right now. And in doing so, Treasury investors are appearing to shift their positions, moving to the longer-dated bonds versus the shorter-dated ones.
Liz, they think that the recession is coming. There's no question that this Fed is not believed. Just taking the 2-year for a second, the 2-year is running 100, 115 basis points through Fed funds right now. So that's telling you there's a lot of disbelief out there. Mm-hmm. The 5-year is somewhere around 3 3/8, 3.40, give or take. That is telling you that people are investing, that they don't think these yields are going to be here, and that the Fed is going to turn around and start easing, regardless of the fact that they say they won't.
Andy, Peter, thank you so much.
So nobody is buying what the Fed is putting out there, okay? And everybody sees that this is the collapse. The black swans that are now in play are all of the West's own making through greed, corruption, arrogance, hubris, and ignorance. And it is bringing the entire nation to his knees. Let's go back to something, that chapter 27. Muhammad says, America, in trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of the earth, is one of the most troubled countries on earth today. Pay close attention to this. That clip was going on, I don't know why, but I was just focused on this. So it must be something to it. The world has never before seen the top rulers of the land leaving their offices to visit nations abroad. The purpose of these visits to foreign countries is to make peace with them after years of troubling them. Is that not what America, as she sends her Secretary of State, her National Security Advisor, the Foreign Ministry, and all of that stuff around the globe? Listen to what it says. America brought all of her troubles upon herself. She alone, she don't have no partners, alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. And isn't that what these nations are saying? America uses her position to undermine stability and national security and global security. She uses her dollar to cause panic through the markets, to sanction nations, to bring down governments, to weaken governments, to cause poverty and famine in other countries. Huh? And now we see the blowback effect of it with nations moving outside of the dollar. So Muhammad is right when he says that America brought all of her troubles upon herself. She alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. Now, we are watching the fall of America. Just remember this part. China stands as a great bulwark against American dominance. We told you on this show about that. We told you that America's purpose in Asia was to what? To do what? To stop the rise of China, because she views China as the greatest threat. Now, here's something. 15 years ago, this was not the case, right? 30 years ago, this was not the case, right? Why all of a sudden has China leapfrogged Russia as America's number one most pressing threat? Answer me this. Why? Is it because Elijah Muhammad had already told us what to expect? Is it because Elijah Muhammad had laid out to us that China and its breakout capacity, this white American man in everything that he once dominated in? All right? Let's go to something, an article real quick ahead, and then I'm going to read some out of Theology of Time. Okay? It says, China's UnionPay overtakes Visa in debit transactions as global financial realignment continues. Launched in 2002. So it wasn't launched in 2000, or even in the 90s or the 80s, is a recent baby. Launched in 2002, the Chinese state-owned bank card and financial services company filed it into a major global payment system, with its cards accepted in over 180 nations jurisdictions around the world, and transactions measured in the hundreds of billions of dollars, right? China's UnionPay has edged out Visa to become the number one debit card in the world, accounting for $40.03 of every $100 in transactions, compared to $38.78 for Visa. Now stop right there. That is a telltale shift. That is a telltale shift in economic prowess. And the warning signs, and what helped to speed that up, was America's own intransigence. Remember what Elijah Muhammad says? America brought all her troubles upon herself. See, she showed her dirty hand when she stole Russia's money. She showed her dirty hand because, remember, prior to that, America doesn't run SWIFT. SWIFT is a European company. America just advises, and nobody would throw Russia out. But by throwing Russia out, it amplified the need for an alternative to SWIFT, an alternative to Visa, because remember, Visa and MasterCard were supposed to be independent of U.S. government policies. But they were forced to cancel all Russian Visa and MasterCard. So Russia had a mirror system which hooked up with what? What did it hook up with? It hooked up with China's UnionPay. And now Iran has a card system that has hooked up with UnionPay and Mir. India has hooked its messaging device to what? To UnionPay and to Mir. So we see this didn't come out of the blue. It is because of American intransigence and hubris. Elijah Muhammad said what? America brought all of her troubles upon herself when she acted in such a belligerent way, ignoring the international norms. Why? Because desperate people or desperate governments or desperate nations do desperate things. What may seem rational to an irrational person is irrational to rational people. So the rational people who are watching America's policies see that she continued to implement irrational policies. Why? Because the pressure is building up. The pressure busts the pipe, right? Well, it's busting the American imperial pipe. And so she's just throwing stuff up against the wall, flicking up to see if it'll stay. But nothing is sticking to the wall. Nothing. So when we look at this situation, we see that that yellow man is fulfilling the prophecy and the destiny that Elijah Muhammad had told them that they had. And all of this is happening in every one of us. That these are the final hours of American empire. Listen, this should be making each and every one of you happy. I see Rashid hand up. I don't know if he made a mistake and hit that again, but I'm going to bring him in just in case. I don't want to miss out on what he had to say. If he did hit this, let me bring him in. Rashid.
You were talking about, I even, you have an Rashid example about Kassim arguing over nothing.
Yeah, that's him. He said arguing over that. And then I lost him. Rashid.
Some small, infinite stuff.
I killed all the every last thing of him. I'm sorry. It's going in and out on him. I'm sorry, Rashid. The thing is going in and out on you. I can't do nothing. Just take your hand down and put it back up, and I'll bring you back in. It's going in and out as I'm trying to talk to you. I want you to listen to something, okay? Because we're at a point now. Where is it at? Let's go back to something real quick. Here we are. So we go back to 57, Theology of Time, page 57, right? This is what Muhammad says. And this shows you why China leapfrog over Russia as being America's most pressing national security issue. Those are the words they use, that China has become the most pressing national security issue for the United States. And what's crazy about this, the Chinese, for the first time in their history, released their war gaming scenario They did 20 war games. Remember, the United States did 20 war games. And in each war game, the United States lost in more devastating. And the last war game, America lost, but what kept her from losing so devastating is that she employed weapons that she don't even have in her arsenal, which is projected to come into being in 20 years. The Chinese did something that was unheard of. They released their war gaming and the results of their war gaming over 20 war games. And they beat the United States. They beat the United States with Australia. They beat the United States with Australia and Japan and South Korea. They beat the United States with a combination of all of those nations and NATO. So now we have China beating America. The Belt and Road with over 140 countries now accepting the yuan. And now we see that the Chinese, their UnionPay, has outstripped Visa and MasterCard. This is very significant. Why? Because remember, China became the largest shipbuilder in the world, too. Remember, China is the largest manufacturer and the largest trade partner and the largest exporter and the largest importer in the world, right? All of that on the back of being having the largest foreign currency exchange, when Elijah Muhammad told you that that yellow man would chase down this white man and everything that he once dominated in. This is the real time of that. Think about this. We look at how China is outstripping them in banks. The top five world banks now are Chinese. Do you know that China has more billionaires than the United States now? Did you know that? All of these things that America once enjoyed and flaunted, the Chinese have outstripped her. Now, I want you to think about something. All that brushed aside, became the largest online thing, period, outstripping Telegram and outstripping Twitter and outstripping Instagram and outstripping Facebook. That's why they are putting more pressure on TikTok, because it's a non-white, non-Western, Asian platform that is not dominated and regulated by the West. The same as when Huawei, the phone company, outstripped South Korean Samsung and U.S. Apple. It became a national security threat, they said. That was to justify their illegal trade practices and moves against a Chinese or Asian company that was outstripping U.S. and Western corporations. It is the Asiatic nation who are the ones laying her low. Right? So Muhammad says, he told his people, he's talking about Yaqub, he told his people, the white people, when you live on this earth 6,000 years, don't try to rule the seventh, because in the 7,000 years, your brother coming from the east and he's going to eat you up. The white man or devil knows this. See, this is not something that they don't know. They understand this. He says, which is why. Listen, now he tells us that they understand this. Then he gives us a reason for the military buildup in Asia. He gives us a reason for the economic war that America is trying to wage against China. He gives us a reason why the European Union joins hands with America in her efforts to try to hinder China's breakout capacity in her rise. Listen to what he says. The white man or devil knows this, which is why he goes over in the East, EAST, the East, and stocks his artillery over there, trying to keep the man from coming out. Starts working on him before he leaves. But they know he is going to do that. See? They knew that they had a specific destiny to fulfill, the white man. And the yellow man knows that he has a specific destiny to fulfill. And that is why America deems China as the most pressing threat to American hegemony and American power. Because when that takes place, when that conflict takes place, she will become a shell of herself economically and militarily. And if you don't have the wherewithal economically to suppress the ex-slaves at home, if you don't have the finances to fund your whipping and shooting and killing machine of your police forces at home, you can't keep the ex-slave under boot at home. Do you understand? So this is the breaking of American power globally, internationally, and domestically. You understand? Don't think that America doesn't know this. Don't think that. As a matter of fact, one more from Peter Schiff. Listen to what he says here about the situation economically.
All right. So where do you see the thermometer on this situation?
Well, unfortunately, it's going to get red hot. You know, what's happening right now in the banking system is a direct consequence of bad monetary and fiscal policy. The government and the Federal Reserve caused the 2008 financial crisis. They have caused this 2023 greater financial crisis. Thanks to the government, the entire U.S. banking system is a house of cards. The majority of U.S. banks are insolvent. And because they're all going to get bailed out and the U.S. government, every bank account is going to be eviscerated by inflation. The Fed is going to print trillions of dollars to bail out the banks and the government, and that means every one of your listeners is going to see the value of their savings collapse as prices go through the roof.
One thing, two things. First of all, I thought they had new capital requirements after 2008 to keep banks more solvent.
No, that regulation didn't do anything. You know, they tried to close the barn doors well after the horses had left. The problem wasn't a lack of regulation. It was an excessive amount of regulation that prevented the free market from working, and there was tremendous moral hazard. You know, and by the way, U.S. banking regulations encouraged banks to load up on government debt, mortgage-backed securities, and the Federal Reserve gave them no choice by keeping interest rates at zero for over a decade.
The second thing is, when, you know, when we say, oh, they're going to bail them out, I feel like people have been playing politics, trying to blame Democrats for using taxpayer dollars to bail out their buddies. That's not really a fair assessment of the FDIC. Banks pay into that. Now, you can say, oh, but they'll pass it along. But by that definition, Pete, anytime a corporation is fined in any way, then it's going to be taxpayer dollars at some point because everything gets passed along. I mean, is that a fair criticism that they're bailing out this situation?
Well, of course, it's a massive bailout, and, you know, we shouldn't even have an FDIC. We had a much sounder banking system before we got the FDIC during the New Deal, but now it's a much bigger moral hazard than ever before. And sure, the cost of deposit insurance is borne by the customers of the bank. It's passed on like any cost. But the real damage is the moral hazard that it does, because Americans don't give a damn about the risks that the banks take. They just put their money anywhere because it's all guaranteed by the government. What we need is a free market to ensure that the banking system is sound. But thanks to the government, it is completely unsound. As I said, it's a house of cards. It's a leveraged mess. The whole thing is going to implode. But what's going to happen is the Fed is going to bail out the entire system. And so you're not going to lose your money. The bank is going to have your money. The problem is your money is going to lose its value. So you can get your money out of the bank, but you won't be able to buy anything with it.
So last question. One, is there an unless? You know, and based on what your answer is to that, what are people supposed to do?
Well, if most people don't leave much money in the bank, I mean, take it out, buy yourself some gold, silver, do something. But you're going to lose dramatically if you have cash. If you have a deposit in the bank, it doesn't matter if the government insures it or not. They don't insure you against inflation. In fact, they have to create inflation to bail out everybody else. But at this point, you know, it's too late to do the right thing. I mean, they should have done the right thing 20 years ago, 12 years ago. I don't see any precedent in the U.S. government doing the right thing. Every time they get a chance, they do the wrong thing, and that includes the Federal Reserve. So you've got to protect yourself from this incompetence. I mean, the majority of Americans, I said, are going to get wiped out by inflation. Now, the government is going to try to blame inflation on the private sector, on the greedy businessmen who are jacking up their prices, or they try blaming it on Putin. But the sole source of all inflation is the U.S. government. It's the government that spends the money and the Federal Reserve that prints it. These massive deficits that we have under Biden, but we had them under Trump, we had them under Obama, all of these deficits are the source of inflation. You don't get anything for free for the government. All government spending has to be paid for. And if you don't pay for it through taxation, you're going to pay for it through inflation. Higher prices are a tax, and every American has had a huge tax increase under the Biden administration. whether he admits it or not.
It's been going on for a while, and we have to keep an eye on this, and that's why I'm trying to cover it regularly, because the sooner they intervene and the sooner we get new standards, the better we'll be. Peter Schiff, sober assessment, but appreciated. Thank you, Pete.
What did he say? The sole cause of this stuff is the U.S. government. What did all of America say? America brought all of her troubles upon herself. She alone, sole source, and she alone are the exact same meaning. She alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. Now, Peter Schiff said multiple things. I'm going to try to address them in the last 2 minutes of the show. He said that this thing was going to implode. He said, and so we go to the dictionary and we look at the word implode, which is a verb. It means to collapse or cause to collapse violently inwards. End or fail suddenly or dramatically. That's what he said. That's what he's talking about, the economic system. That it will violently collapse inwardly, or it will end or fail suddenly or dramatically. This is what he says. See, you have to listen and weigh what people say. He says, those people who leave their money in the banks, you know, you'll have your money. It just won't be worth anything. He says, the people will be eviscerated. All right? According to the dictionary, eviscerated is from the word eviscerate, which is a verb. It means to disembowel, to gut, to remove the innards from, to draw breath or embowel, to remove the contents of. So he's talking about whatever was backing that dollar would be removed. And without any sound bagging, without any bagging of the petrol or the gas or commodities, the value will be destroyed, right? And another thing he said, and I'm trying to get it, so you guys, please bear with me 1 second. He says, this whole thing is a house of cards. And according to the dictionary, the phrase house of cards means a structure built out of playing cards precariously balanced together. So we see the system precariously put together or balanced together that is collapsing right in front of our eyes. But we had already warned you of these things, and you're seeing them in real time. Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you that we are watching the collapse and the fall of America. It is very plain to see. Now, in closing, let me say this to you. Join us Thursday for another live show on the Star and Crescent Report. Later on today, we'll be doing a live show over on the Red Pill Diaries on YouTube. Please go and subscribe, and go and subscribe to all of our other platforms in conjunction with that. We're trying to push this truth. We're trying to uplift Elijah Muhammad and his teachings and show the world that this man had to meet with God. How else could he know all these things? How else could he be so right? The man is so right, he can't be wrong. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 6 to 8 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I don't love you to death because you're already dead, and we're trying to get life breathed into you. I love you to life. But my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Master Farad Muhammad, Almighty God Allah, and his messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, will always love you best. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day, the roads we take.